Okay, so just to start, can everyone turn in their Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to start reading at verse 7. So keep on asking, and you'll be given what you ask for. Keep on looking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and the door is open to everyone who knocks. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Do for others what you would like them to do for you. This is a summary of all that is taught in the Law and the Prophets. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose the easy way. But the gateway to life is small, and the road is narrow, and only a few ever find it. Beware of the false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but they are really wolves that will tear you apart. You can detect them in the way that they act, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit. You don't pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. A healthy tree produces good fruit, and an unhealthy tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, the way to identify a tree or a person is by the kind of fruit that is produced. I'm going to move on to verse 26. Anyone who listens to my teaching and obeys me is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on rock. But anyone who hears my teaching and ignores it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will fall with a mighty crash. After Jesus finished speaking, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught as one who had real authority, quite unlike the teachers of religious law. So as I came to look at this, we're going to focus much more in on the last part of the reading, which talks about foundations. But I couldn't resist just touching on some of the other parts. So the first thing that we're really all familiar with is the whole knock principle that is talked to us here. So I'm going to ask for some audience participation as we do this. I'm moving the slides. I forgot about that. So we're all familiar with knock-knock jokes, so I'm going to ask you a few knock-knock jokes. So when I say knock-knock, you say... Okay, so we're all familiar. Good. Right, so I've got a few, and we'll see where I get groans, where I get laughs. So I've tried to use some that link to what we're doing. So the first one is knock-knock. Dora. The door is locked, that's why I'm knocking. So, okay, right, okay, no, that one's not so good, okay. Right, knock, knock. Ice cream. I scream if you won't let me in. Oh, this is going really well. Okay, knock, knock. Yeah. Well, no thanks, I'm more of a Google person. Okay, knock, knock. Annie. Anything you can do, I can do better. All right, okay, good, good. Okay, right. Okay, we're nearly there. Knock, knock. Rudolph. Money is the root of all evil. Right, I've got to finish this one. I deliberated around whether I would use this one or not. So this is applicable to some of the men out there. So knock, knock. Marry. Marry me. So those of you that are maybe still to pop that question, you can maybe put that in your repertoire as you meet your future future partners. Okay, so one of the other things that we've read about in the passage is about trees and roots and things growing. So one of the things, I'm not going to go into all of this, but one of the important things around fruit or trees and plants that flourish is the depth of the roots that then provide that goodness that comes out. So I just want you just to have that in mind as we think about some other things. If Ashley had been here, I would have asked him to expand a little bit on that, but maybe we'll get that chance on another occasion. So coming to where we really want to focus on for the next sort of 20 minutes or so is thinking about foundations. And here we see some principles around from Thomas Kempis. The loftier the building, the deeper must the foundation be laid. Rich and I were just over on holiday in Dubai, and of course in Dubai you're surrounded by lots of tall buildings as well as the world's tallest building. We were golfing and we met a retired man on the golf course who was sharing just some of his story. His daughter is going out with a man that owns a company out there that specializes in foundations. And I think for me, as I was thinking about this and looking at the importance of foundations and the fact that your foundations, roots, are things that are all hidden, but the quality of the foundation becomes extremely important in terms of the sturdiness, impact of what things are able to do. So, well, I think we're all familiar with the Tower of Pisa, so skimping on foundations there when you start to read some of why the tower was leaning is quite interesting when you look at the overall approach to foundations. So as we've gone through this passage, it's really quite interesting because what we find here is that in terms of kingdom living, there is no middle ground. There are only two choices in terms of how we approach the life that we live. I won't go through all of the analogies that are there that are we're talked to about in the passage, but the key message here is there is no middle ground. We have to choose one way or another. And that's really where the title of what I'm discussing this morning came from, as we looked into some of the commentary that was written around the wise man and the foolish man. And there they're saying that the two men had exactly the same opportunity, circumstance, but it came down to what they were choosing, and that there wasn't any middle ground. And we see some verses there that help us with that principle that says, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. There is no middle ground. We need to take ownership and take responsibility for how we choose and what we choose. So what I wanted to do this morning is talk in a bit more depth around what does it mean to build a firm foundation. I could come and, you know, tell you all of the standard things around building a foundation to, you know, to read your Bible, to pray more, to be faithful. But what I want to try and do is just take that a little bit further, where all of those things come back into play, because we all know them. We know what we need to do. We know how we should do things, but it's the ongoing struggle that we have in our minds around doing what we want to do and doing what we don't want to do. But the good thing is that because we're asked to be part of God's kingdom and we're called to be his children, then we have his support and help as we work through some of these things. So taking some research that was done by the Harvard Business School, they have qualified it down to three principles that give us a firm foundation. And these you can pull these back into the passage that we've just read. And I always think it is quite amazing when we come and we look at what the Bible has to say, then we read lots of books, you know, whether that's in a business context or if it's to do with how do I improve my life. Everything comes back down to the foundations and the principles of what we are taught in the Bible. And here, I don't think we see anything different in terms of these three principles around integrity, authenticity, and being committed to something bigger than oneself. Now, when we think about integrity, then this is around where we talk a lot about integrity and how that builds trust in the people that we are in relationship with. And integrity, very simply summed up as who I am is my word, which is quite a tough thing to stay consistent with, because we can say one thing and do another. We can say one thing and mean another. And a lot of time in what we say, there is a lot of subtext within what we say, and we are maybe not being as honest around what we're saying and how we are and what we're doing. So it really challenges us here to think about, if a firm foundation is built upon your integrity, then that simple principle of I am my word becomes difficult to live out in the minute of every day, the day of every week, the month of every year. But within that comes, as we think about that and as we take responsibility for that, and as we think about what God asks us to do, and knowing that he is there, he is helping us, he is supporting us, he is listening to us, because the purpose for our lives is the plan that he's laid out. So therefore, to focus in and say, I am my word, and then when you find yourself deviating from that, then to, in essence, self-correction starts to become quite powerful in terms of the impact that we have on people around us and the situations that we're in and the people that we're interacting with. I've put quite a lot of other things up there just so that you can read through those, but I don't necessarily want to go and unpack all of that, but it's just that challenge there around integrity, and it is about who you are and staying consistent with that. So what is it like to live this out? So there are some things here that I'm just going to work through. So you're at peace with yourself and therefore act from a place where you're at peace with others and the world, even those who disagree with or threaten you. Then you live without fear for yourself. Then you experience no fear of losing the admiration of others. You do not have to be right because you act with humility. And everything or anything else that people might say is okay. There's no need to defend, explain, or rationalize, because that is something that you can learn from. So as we look at these things, it actually gives us a sense of freedom around who we are and what we need to do. So have that in mind as we then look at some of the other things. So being authentic. This one was quite interesting in terms of, again, the black and whiteness of being authentic and being inauthentic. And the very nature of being inauthentic is around pretending to be or trying not to be who you really are. And so therefore that struggle continues with us in terms of what we want our outward appearance to be, what we want others to think, rather than being true to who we are and to do that in the light of God's calling to each one of us. So when we think about being authentic and what that means in terms of being inauthentic, it does mean around being honest and true to ourselves, which is an internal struggle. And I think the great thing that we have with the Christian faith and the relationship that we have with God is that he knows everything about us. He sees everything that we do in secret. He knows what we think. He knows what our struggles are. So using that to help us to face up to how we remain consistent and faithful to being authentic so that we are, again, being the light that is shining to the people around us, pointing them back to God and for the real purpose of life. Then as we come on to the third principle around being committed to something bigger than yourself, this talks about being committed in a way that shapes your being and your actions. So that your life is about something that is bigger than yourself. And when you start to find that, where it's not just where everything is not about me, then that is where passion and motivation starts to come from. So one of the things I'm going to get you to think about as we turn some of this into how do I apply this practically is, what is it that generates passion within you, excitement, motivation, where you are compelled to give something extra or to go the extra mile and to do something that is not about you? And that's the great thing about what we're called to do within the Christian faith. We're not called to live for ourselves, but we're called to live for others and to bring Jesus and his message and his purpose to the world in which we live in. The next principle is quite an interesting one for me. I think when you get to an age and stage, I've always been used to being the one of the younger set of people within things that I've done, whether it's been within my work or whether it's been with different things within church. I've always been the younger one. Unfortunately, now I'm not finding myself to be the younger one anymore, and things like that start to hit you. So I go the gym that I go to. Unfortunately, I end up being one of the older ones, but then you're partnering with people who are half your age, but everyone is so encouraging, and you realize that age is something that has different, makes you think differently in terms of how you approach what you're doing. So I would have said really up until the age of 40, I was one of those people that was always striving for what is possible. Pushing boundaries, always motivated to go and break new ground. And that was my real motivation and passion that I would bring to a lot of different things that I did. Then when you get to into your 40s, then suddenly this next part kicks in and you're thinking, is this all there is? Because all of these things that you're pushing and striving for, this nirvana that you have put a lot of energy and effort into, you discover isn't actually there. And there's just and that becomes part of an internal struggle when you start to think about, well, is this all there is? Do we ever achieve? Is it, is everything always disappointing? What's the point in making the effort? And that's quite an, for me, it's, something that I'm having to adjust my mindset on and to stay motivated and focused. I had some useful advice from someone who observed this in me, and it was a bit of a turning point as I changed companies, having spent 15 years with one company that you were very invested in, and then having to choose to go in a different direction. And one of the words of wisdom that this guy shared with me is that he said, when I watch you, you're so focused on what's out there. You're so focused on the direction and the result and the outcome that you are striving for that you're missing the journey. You're missing the experience of the step-by-step, the day-by-day that actually gets you there. And that's where the enjoyment comes from. That's where you can celebrate. That's where you can be, encouraged, be supported, whether it's people doing that to you or you doing that to them. And that was a big aha moment for me, because everything about what I would do was always about out there and never about what I'm doing right now. So I got asked this year, what's your New Year's resolution? And with that principle in mind, instead of having these big goals or things that I was aspiring to, I think a really important principle now is just do it. Because what are we waiting for? We can aim for things that are out there. We can set ourselves sometimes impossible goals. We set ourselves goals that we can achieve, objectives that we want to meet. But at the end of the day, it's what you do now that matters. And every day counts. So as part of this choice around kingdom living, be thinking about what is it that motivates you? Where is your passion? And then using what you do every day to be contributing to that. And then when that is blended with what we've talked about, the challenge personally about your integrity and being authentic, then suddenly we have very firm foundations, which are Bible-based foundations and principles in terms of how to live a life that is bringing about the kingdom of God. So I thought this phrase was, our quote from George Bernard Shaw was quite interesting, and really summed up, you know, some of what I'm trying to share with you today. So what he said is that in this commitment to something bigger than oneself, this is the true joy in life, being used for a purpose recognized by yourself as a mighty one. The being a force of nature instead of a feverish, selfish little clod of ailments and grievances, complaining that the world will not devote itself to making you happy. I am of the opinion that my life belongs to the whole community, and as long as I live it, it's my privilege to do it for whatever I can. I want to be thoroughly used up when I die, for the harder I work, the more I live. I rejoice in life for its own sake. Life is no brief candle to me, it's a sort of splendid torch which I have got hold of for the moment, and I want to make it burn as brightly as possible before handing it on to future generations. And I think that also sums up very much around the purpose of Old House, and what, you know, as a collective group of people who are followers of Jesus, as we want to be salt and light to the community, and whether that's our geographical community or the network of people who are our community and people that we live and share our lives with day to day, is to give it our best. So we're just going to watch a short video, and then I'm going to move into where I ask you to do some things in response to this. Of time, so I'm going to try and just condense, just probably in the next 5 minutes, but probably just give you some homework to do as a result of being here, to think about how this then can translate and apply into your lives. So within the reason I wanted to use that video was very much about, you know, choices, taking ownership and responsibility to live out our giftedness. And having built the foundations of what makes a life that we're taught through building our house on the rock versus our house on the sand, then we come people who are empowered, people who have got freedom to live out our purpose as a result of being Christians and doing what God is asking us to do. So another book that might be interesting if you want to explore this a bit further is one that Max Lucado has written around, and it's called The Cure for the Common Life. And he gives a framework here that helps you to start to identify, in essence, where your sweet spot is. So the things we're talking about is, where does your purpose, your passion, your motivation, your makeup start to intersect with the other things that are going on in life round about you. And those two things coming together mean that you can live out what God's purpose is, what he's intended for you, but doing that with confidence and doing it with assurance, which is where we're touched on this whole idea about being authentic, because we've got that assurance now and the trust and the confidence that's what God thinks that matters, not what people round about us think, and that can give us that level of freedom. So one of the things that he asks you to do is to think about a number of times in your life, so right through from childhood, where you can identify a sweet spot where you were firing on all cylinders, you felt free, you were motivated, you were achieving, and there was positive impact around all of these things that had happened. So we asked you to identify maybe three or four stories that you can identify with. And then he says to then think about it from this point of view, that when you look at these things, you understand your strengths. So how do you get things done? How did you approach it that meant that was a sweet spot moment for you in terms of what you were doing? The topics, what are the things that you like to work with? What interests you? Is it a particular, is it being indoors, outdoors? Is it being creative? Is it being hands-on? There are things that you do in how you spend your time that help you know where you can be optimal in what you're doing. And then the optimal conditions around what triggers your motivation, what makes you excited, what makes you want to go that extra mile. Then your relationships. Where do you feel most alive in terms of the type of people that you're interacting with? Where does your role fit there? And finding those types of communities and those groups of people that can help bring the best out in what you can do. And then your yes. When do you feel God's pleasure in fulfilling your purpose? And I think that's the great thing that we've got as Christians, that we know that when we are in the center of God's plan and God's purpose for us, even when it's hard and challenging, or when we're on the flying high, we know that being in that place is where we're meant to be and what we're meant to be doing. So again, we come with that assurance. So what I'd like to do is just finish with a story of someone that you will all know. So I'm just going to take a very small clip from Bear Grylls, where he talks about really being in that sweet spot, but also what it means in terms of choices that make the difference. And then we'll finish in prayer after that. And our relationship with God, but then as we collectively here at Old House, to take up that challenge of the difference between ordinary and extraordinary is just that little word extra, and that's what makes the assignments that God gives us individually and collectively meaningful, very meaningful, but also very powerful and also very impactful on the people who we come into relationship, connection with. So therefore, let's go on assignment with God and give it everything that we've got. Okay, let's pray. Father, we just thank you that you are the God who is the creator of this world, the universe that we live in. You are the designer. You have made each of us you in your image. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. You have made plans for each one of us that you want us to engage in and take part in. So we just pray that through the things that we've talked about this morning, as we think about the foundation of our lives, that we would do that. We would invest in it. We would put effort to it. We would go that extra mile, even when things are tough, knowing that we are serving the kingdom and bringing about your kingdom to those that live in it. So pray all these things in your name and for your sake.